From KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional.
I spend a lot of time at airports. The last flight I took was back home to Dubai to see my dad for his birthday. It was 23 hours from Los Angeles via Frankfurt, and I was so jet-lagged by the end of it that I found myself drinking a pint of beer at like 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm probably permanently damaged from being crunched up in the plane seat that long, but there's a small crazy part of me that kind of loved the whole experience. Airports are like a portal to a weird liminal space where people mind their own business for a change, and it's kind of awesome. Nobody wants to talk, nobody hits on you. I'm not a man or a woman to the world, I'm just the flesh sitting in 38C. Maybe it's the beer or the jet lag, but it can all sometimes feel a little dreamlike. The whole process of taking off my shoes, emptying my water bottle, getting my piercings prodded by TSA, being asked who I am and why I'm going where I'm going.
Hi.
To which I always say,
yes.
I'm Nisha. I'm a grad student. I go to USC. I'm from Dubai, and I'm just here in LA to finish my degree. It's not like those things about me aren't true. It's what I put on my resume, it's what I tell people when I introduce myself. But all those things just sort of float around the core of who I am, which I'm still trying to figure out.
Unfictional is a program of true stories and personal documentaries produced by independent audio makers from all over. I'm your host, Bob Carlson. And on this episode of the program, a self-portrait from journalist Nisha Venkat, someone who finds themselves at a pivotal moment in life, living on a temporary student visa with one foot out the door of college and ready to start the real world. And there's a choice. On one hand, the comforts of a home far away. On the other hand, is the chance to stay in this new home, a place where you keep learning new things about yourself all the time. From KCRW, it's Unfictional, and a story called Nisha.
That was my friend Josh.
Like, I will chop an onion. I will.
Family is hard to come by out here, but he's the closest thing I have to it in America. He's a queer foreigner, just like me. We graduated together, we trauma bonded over the same shitty professors, and even came up as producers in the same student newsroom. I've worked at the newsroom since I was a sophomore. You're being recorded.
Oh yeah. Hello, podcast world.
Podcast world says hello back. I've been the executive editor here since January of this year.
What's up?
Hello.
It's a great training ground for journalists.
Really good. You have a lot of stories today, so.
Good for you. Yeah, oh my God, the plastic bin and everything, how's that coming along?
But to me, it's extra special because it's also one of the only places in the world I live between where I'm openly queer and openly non-binary. I go by they-them pronouns, and I have business cards from the newsroom that say they-them. I have my pronouns on Slack. My identity feels welcome here. I mean, obviously, it's not perfect. I still get misgendered constantly. But it's the only place in the world where I'm out, and I can expect to have my identity respected.
Hello, Daniel.
I'm coming. I'm just waiting for these pictures to dry, and I'm going to Uber there.
You're Ubering to this meeting?
Part of it, of course, is being surrounded by leftist college students, but another big part of it has to do with the future of media. The industry getting a little more equitable and a little less white made the risk of coming out as a trans person of color feel much lower for me, even if we obviously still have a really long way to go. It's such a relief to be out somewhere, anywhere. It's like breathing fresh air for the first time after being in the closet all your life. Because I've never felt like I can be out anywhere else. And that's something I feel the most when I'm home.
I went home recently, though.
I saw. That was like, I was like, I can't believe you did that. I was like, what?
It was kind of crazy. I, like, came out to my brother while I was there.
How did it feel?
My hometown is Dubai, which is not in India. I feel like I need to say that because so many Americans don't know anything about the Middle East. Dubai is a state in the United Arab Emirates, right by Saudi Arabia and Oman. Dubai is hot. You could fry an egg on the sidewalk if you tried. But there's also a lot of beautiful culture here. And of course, for me, that means there's a lot of brown people. And that has its perks. I can't tell you how much I miss being able to find a good cup of masala chai and having my heart full to the brim with my own culture. Naturally, I grew up and went to school surrounded by people that looked like me. It was idyllic, suburban, definitely very privileged, because my mom and dad did everything they could to protect me from the scary parts of the world. But when those scary things start to live in your head, that's a different story. I was always bad at being a girl. I was assigned female at birth, but I spent a lot of my childhood playing football with boys in the neighborhood park. After that, I would spend hours playing Pokemon on my brother's Game Boy. In many ways, it was perfect. And then puberty happened. And for me, it did not come the way I expected. I grew taller than most girls in my grade, but still stayed flat-chested with lots of hair on my legs. I hated how I looked most of my teens. Plus, kids can be mean, and when they can tell you feel different, they make sure you know it. Someone on my school bus called me Hairy Dick Fairy for years, even after I begged my mom to buy me a razor and she finally caved. Funny nickname in hindsight, but back then it did some damage. That was what started this incredible push and pull between who I wished I was and who my body was telling me I was and who I now know I am. Back then, I wanted to be curvy like the other girls in my grade, but I stopped eating and my hair started falling out in clumps. Nobody ever formally diagnosed me with an eating disorder, but I don't need a shrink to tell me that I probably wasn't okay back then. By the way, being both the things I now identify as, queer and trans, is illegal in the UAE. I get a warning when I open Tinder back home because my settings say I'm interested in all genders. I could go to prison or get deported if I'm convicted of homosexuality or what they call cross-dressing. So, of course, I stayed in the closet because it was safe and it was easy. I only ventured out of it when I moved across the world to Los Angeles for college. Alongside my very serious curricular activities, I also went to pride parades. I kissed women, I finally started eating again, and I even grew boobs. And then COVID sent me to Zoom school. If you've ever used Zoom, which of course you have, it's so easy to pin your own screen and stare at yourself. And I did for hours when I was in class. It was more than I had ever wanted to look at myself, and it felt like I was dissolving. I didn't even recognize the person that was looking back at me. After lots of therapy, journaling, and reading gender theory, I came out as trans, as non-binary, for the very first time to my friend Josh while extremely drunk at a party in the summer of 2021. Naturally, I don't remember what he said back to me, but at that point, it was a matter of survival. I wanted to be pretty the way boys were. I wanted to be me, authentically, fully. And now, I want to get to decide what that means for a change. My dad doesn't make a big deal out of anything. So when I flew home to surprise him for his birthday this year, he was more confused than happy. My mom and dad are smarter than anybody I know. They moved to Dubai in the 1990s, the first wave of immigrants that built the city, and they raised my brother and I here, away from their families in India. They're shrewd as hell, and they don't take bullshit from anybody, and they love their kids more than anything in the world. Except, of course, maybe telling their kids what to do.
Then rice.
Yeah?
Besan is for me. Brown rice is for me. This is for me. You want chaat masala?
Chaat masala, yeah.
You want? For myself, I picked up rajma. Pani puri I bought. This is Vedekar pickle for you.
Naturally, they have pretty high expectations for my brother and I. And I actually ended up coming out to my brother as transgender during this trip back home. I've been emotionally distant from my family for a while now because I never thought they'd understand this part of me, but my brother had my back in a way I never could have expected.
So, no matter what, we all want to see you happy. And don't be emotional about that. That's just like a thing, okay? That we're all here to like support you, see you succeed, and be like who you are and happy and stuff.
Gross.
Sorry.
I'm still closeted to the rest of my family. My mother begs me to wax my armpits every time she sees them. She calls me her daughter and probably wouldn't stop even if I did come out to her. But I try to push the envelope with my dad. I think he knows I'm not the girl he raised anymore, and I also think he might be okay with that as long as I'm happy.
I mean, want you to be successful and famous also. Why not? And do your money management well, juggle around. I told you, book property, get a driving license. These are the minimum things you should do. And then you get more settled, no? And first of all, for you, you're hardly any age. You started off at the right time. You've been working already for 2, 3, 4 years, which is great. You're collecting enough experience. And what's your age? It's nothing. You should be happy, Nisha.
I honestly don't know if I'm going to send them this episode when it airs. I might pretend it never made it through edits or that it got killed at the last second. But if this makes its way to the right Indian auntie, there might very well be no closet left to hide in anymore. The beautiful and terrifying thing is, I'm just starting to be able to hope. I bought my first binder a couple of months ago. I'm building up the courage to get the classic non-binary mullet. Even recording this piece, I'm thinking about how different I'd like my voice to sound. And out here, it feels like I have the rest of my life to figure this out, even though that's not the truth. Not even close. I'm on a student visa in America, and I need to find a sponsor to live and to work here. And that path is tough. Backlogs in visa processing and the ongoing fight over foreign workers mean I might very well be pushed out to live a life that isn't mine anymore. But over the years, I've realized it's not as simple as just embracing the American dream. That feels broken now, even for most people I know who were born here. It's more about finding home. And for me and my other queer third culture friends, that feels like more of a hopeless wish than an attainable reality.
I'm never gonna be able to go downstairs and eat my mom's food, you know? Like, if I won against immigration, I would be so far away from my parents and everything that I've ever considered home.
Right, right.
There's 1.1 million foreign students currently studying in the United States. Almost everybody I've ever spoken to wants to stay. They hear the same ticking time bomb as I do.
I moved out here, and I found myself out here.
And, like, this place has, like, given me a lot. I don't even sound the same as when I left. I lost my accent. I sound like a California surfer, bro, and now I'm just, like, my passport doesn't matter, you know? My family's so far away. It's like I'm holding on to this place because it's the only place I've ever been able to be these parts of me that I've discovered, but inherently it's incomplete.
Making a home here has been the most beautiful and terrifying thing I've ever done. I still can't tell you if it's the worst or the best decision I've ever made. Most of the time, I feel like an open wound, so out of control, hurting every time I look in the mirror. The worst part is, I don't know how this journey is going to end. There's no quick fix, there's no easy way to tie it up. On my worst days, I'm not even sure the world has space for me in it. But I know I'm being honest, and I'm fighting for myself harder than anyone ever has for me. And sometimes that's all you need to keep going.
What are we cheersing to?
My brain went so many places. No, no, I'm good. What is to come?
Cheers, John.
Oh, God.
And then we smoke a cigarette out of the balcony?
Oh, of course.
I think I've given up on not smoking. I think I'm... Oh, that gust felt so good.
That story was written and produced by Nisha Venkat and edited by Anna Buss. If you like this program, please subscribe to Unfictional for more intriguing and involving true radio stories. Find it wherever you get your podcasts and tell your friends about the program if you liked it. Plus, you can always listen to over 10 years' worth of bittersweet, funny, and heartfelt stories from the Unfictional archive at kcrw.com. I'm Bob Carlson, the producer of Unfictional. The associate producer is Anna Buss. KCRW's content director for culture is Aniel Zuberi Fields. Episode graphics by Alex Cirilla. Theme music by Alex Weston, with music help from Joe Augustine and Narrative Music. Please join me next time for Unfictional from KCRW.